Well, this morning, we've reached the last of our questions for the summer. We've been going through the Bible for probably about a year and a half, 2 years now, and we'll be finishing that up by the end of October, starting again next week with 1 Peter. But over this summer, we've been looking at questions that Jesus asks in the course of his ministry that are recorded in the Gospels for us. Today, we reach the last of these questions. We started with the question, who do you say that I am? And we're ending with a question that sort of leaves us in a rather reflective mood. A question that comes during a discourse by Jesus on prayer and on persistence in faith. Reading from Luke chapter 18, I'm going to be reading through verse 14, even though the bulletin says verse 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, now hear what the unjust judge has said. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. A note on my reading of that passage, if you were very perceptive, and if you're following along in your own Bibles, you'll notice I added a word that does not appear in the text of any Bible translation I've been able to find. The question for today, as I read it, is, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? The question as it is translated by every version I've come across into English reads, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The interesting thing that is that in the original, the article the does appear before the word faith. Will he find the faith on the earth? And in light of today's message, that one little word is liable to make a big difference. Well, it's done. Matthew and Megan are both settled in. Settled into their new homes, although I'm sure Matthew is cringing when he hears me speak of Rochester's home. Megan is in Silver Springs and Matthew's back at RIT. And I can't believe the summer is over. Back in June, we really got a feel for what it's like when your kids leave home. Of course, one of our concerns was that they find a good church. I personally have never had to worry about that. Having only ever really gone to three churches in my lifetime, the one I was born into, the one I served an internship at, and this one. Oh yes, there was another church in McKnightstown where I met my wife. My history with finding churches has been pretty good so far. But we did find out through our children what it can be like looking for a new church in a new hometown. Megan has no car, so her options are really limited. I ask myself, are there people who could come to our church but are limited because they have no transportation? At this point, I'd look over at Gladys, but she's not here this morning because she has no transportation. And this is a rather unusual weekend for her anyway. She's staying with her niece for the weekend. But we're thinking of you, Gladys, as you'll find out when you listen to the tape. Matthew had a car, and there was a church only two blocks away from where he was staying. And it was a Lutheran church. Sounded good, until I looked at their website and found out what they believed. Apparently for that church, appearing tolerant and open to other views is more important than making disciples through the teachings of Jesus. There was another church only three blocks away, but that was Mormon. Oh well. And in the background I hear Jesus' question. I've heard it all summer long. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? I understand we're now in the middle of political conventions. Literally in the middle. We had one last week. We'll have another one this week. I wouldn't know. I'm not watching them. As far as I'm concerned, conventions are for preaching to the choir, and I don't belong to the choir of either of those parties. I know enough to make my choice. Long ago, in fact, when the very first time I voted in a presidential election, well, second time I voted in a presidential election, I made a vow to God that I would never vote for a candidate who was not pro-life. And so I have no choice. I know who I'll be voting for. I understand one of the candidates became a Christian as an adult. He joined a church and had both his daughters baptized there. That sounded good. Until I looked into the issue a little deeper and I discovered that he only joined that church after his pastor guaranteed him that he could believe anything he wanted to about Jesus and didn't have to worry about what the Bible had to say about him. Because after all, the Bible's an old book. Apparently for that church, something they call social justice and hatred for people who aren't like them is more important than listening to Jesus' own teaching. And in the background, all through this presidential election, I hear the question Jesus asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? I was in a doctor's office the other day and I discovered that there's a new spokesman for the so-called evangelical church in America. Some guy on the West Coast, of course he'd have to be from California, who talks about being purpose-driven, who supports baby killers and sponsors political events in his church. He brings the gospel to millions in a language they can understand. Sounds good. Until I discovered that the gospel he presents is self-oriented, not God-oriented, and denies the importance of objective truths about Jesus and God. It's very similar to a new movement that's gaining ground in America today called the Emerging Church. Apparently, for this movement, the journey of faith is more important than finding the truth. Besides, one man's truth is another man's prison. And in the background, I hear the question of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? I remember meeting a fellow a few years ago who claimed to be a Christian. Sounded good. I'm always happy to know that someone knows the Lord. Until I discovered the man to be an angry, abusive man who had no regard for the needs or feelings of anyone except himself. And he claims he had been a Christian for many years. I asked him if he didn't think that his behavior was contrary to the teachings of Jesus. He said he didn't care. He said the only thing he cared about was avoiding the final judgment and the fires of hell. Someone had told him that all he needed to do was accept Jesus as his Savior and believe that he died for his sins. He said he had done that. And as a result, now God can't send him to hell even if he wants to. He had God over a barrel, and he was proud of it. He was relieved, too. Apparently, saving his own skin was more important to him than finding the path of life. In spite of the words of Jesus that say, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. And in the background, I hear the question of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? Well, this week is more than just the beginning of the month of September. It also brings to us the first day in the Muslim month of Ramadan. During the next 30 days or so, perhaps as many as one in every four people around the world will be encouraged to fast every day from sunup to sundown. For those who choose to keep this practice, it is a necessary ritual that makes them more worthy of eternal life. Such devotion sounds admirable, sounds good, until you realize that this same devotion and commitment and promise of man-made salvation is leading thousands of so-called believers to offer themselves as living bombs in the hopes that by killing a few dozen or a few thousand infidels along with themselves, they're guaranteed a place in heaven. Apparently, human promises and human sacrifice mean more to them than God's promises and God's sacrifice. It's too bad they don't know that a martyr's death gains nothing if the faith you die for is misguided. And with Islam gaining new converts every day, while throughout the West, country after country, including our own, is renouncing the faith taught by Jesus Christ in favor of belief in human potential and the wisdom of human science, in the background, I hear the question of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? So what are we to make of Jesus' question? When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? The modern American church says, of course he will. Because the church always finds a way to make itself relevant to its culture, as long as it doesn't stay shackled to the words of Jesus and the prophets. After all, truth evolves just like the rest of nature. No, the American church is no widow like the widow in today's parable. She won't let herself be abused by the world, and she's not going to wait for God to vindicate her. She's going to vindicate herself. I guess there will always be faith in the world. I suppose it's impossible to live without faith of some kind. But Jesus did not ask if there would be faith on the earth. He asked if there would be the faith in him, a pure faith in him, unpolluted by the world. Last night, our first night alone in a long time, Tammy and I watched a movie called Luther. No, it wasn't a romance picture, and it wasn't an action picture. It was a historical movie about Martin Luther, produced with grant money provided in part by the Thrivent for Lutherans Financial Association. The movie, made in 2003, recounts the life of Martin Luther and the Reformation that began with a challenge, well, actually 95 challenges. A challenge of accepted church practice being opposed by the simple Word of God, simply understood. Apparently, Luther was foolish enough to believe that the Bible is actually God's own words. Although in one scene in the movie, he came very close to fudging on that idea, and it almost ruined an otherwise great movie. But Luther saw a church selling salvation in order to soothe people's consciences, keep them under control, and in the process, build a nice new cathedral in Rome. They inspired people to give their money, to believe in their message, and to act on lies by giving impassioned preaching that played their feelings like a master would play a violin. As I heard their preaching in the movie, I was startled at how there are many preachers today who use the same techniques to pad their pews and their pockets. I remember hearing a story about Luther where someone in the church, probably a representative from Rome, confronting Luther with his teachings and how controversial they were, and seeing that Luther was unrepentant, as long as he believed that his teachings were according to Scripture, this man asked Luther how he could believe, how he dared to believe, that the whole church was wrong, and he alone had gotten it right. That is a sobering question for those of us who find ourselves in the minority, especially when it comes to religion. But no more sobering than the question of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? Apparently, Luther believed that the Word of God was simple, direct, and true, and worth dying for. All who were saved have died already for the Word. Many people have had to die a martyr's death. But when they appear in heaven, it won't be because they were martyrs. It will be because they died first to sin and then lived the faith delivered to them through the words of God, the Bible. Luther did not suffer everything he endured for some nebulous idea about God. He did not suffer excommunication simply because he wanted to believe in his way and not Rome's way. He did not see many paths to God. For him, even those who reject infant baptism remain lost in ignorance and unbelief. Their gospel is a false gospel. They were his day's New Age counterfeits. In light of the testimony of Martin Luther, Jesus' question is indeed a sobering one. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? This is a sobering question for many reasons. First of all, it reminds us that Jesus is coming, though many times we just as soon think he'll come maybe 1,000 years from now. His question reminds us that when he comes, he'll be looking for something. Or rather, someone. He'll be looking to gather his own people to himself. And this question warns us that not everyone will be gathered to him. This Jesus, who represents a God who loves everyone, will apparently be selective when he comes. He won't take everyone. He won't even take everyone who knows his name. Some will be left. It's a reminder to us of what it will be like at the great white throne. Some will be condemned. So at his coming, some will be left. They will expect to go, and they will be left. As Jesus taught in many parables, at his coming, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who are not taken. Some he will know and take. Others he will claim never to have known, and they will be left. Whether he comes while I am living or whether he comes after I have died, he will be coming to look at me. And when he looks at me, he will decide either to take me or to leave me. Jesus' question and the teachings that are behind it are indisputable evidence that some, even of those who claim to belong to him, will be saved, and some will not. And in which group will I find myself? That is the question, behind the question, when the Son of Man comes. Will he find the faith on the earth? I read this question, and what my heart hears is a slightly different question. When my Savior comes, will he find the faith in me. When he comes for me, looking for me, will he find in me the faith, his faith? Will he recognize himself in the mirror of my heart and receive me? Or will he see some stranger there, some false faith, some substitute God, and leave me behind? Luther said at one time that when he died and went to heaven, he was sure that there would be three things that would surprise him. First, he would be surprised to discover some people that he expected to be there were nowhere to be found. Second, he will look and see those who are there and wonder how they ever got there, because he never expected to see them in heaven. Third, he would look down at his own hands and feet and wonder how he got there in the first place. Well, he wouldn't really wonder. He would know. For me, I pray three prayers every day. Well, I pray many prayers every day. In fact, my goal is to be mature enough in faith that every word, every moment, every thought is a faithful prayer to God. After all, it is his will that I pray without ceasing, along with rejoicing always and being continually thankful. But there are three prayers that I try to pray regularly. First, I pray that if Jesus comes today, and I hope he does, I pray that he will take every person who calls New Hope their church. And in that way, he will find that I have been a faithful steward of this fellowship. Second, I pray especially that he will receive Megan and Matthew and Tammy, and that I will have been found faithful as spiritual head of that household. And finally, I pray that he will receive me, because I know that I daily give him many reasons not to. But can I know that the faith I possess is the true faith? That the Jesus I am waiting for is the Jesus who is coming? Did Jesus ask that question? When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? Just to leave me cowering in fear and hoping against hope that my faith measures up? No, I don't believe this is the Jesus who went to the cross for me. More than that, it's not the testimony that the Gospels give of this Jesus. If he asks a question, he means to make me think, not despair. He means to inspire maturity and commitment, not fear. I need not worry about the quality of my faith. If so, Jesus indeed would have asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Faith of good quality. It's not faith that Jesus is looking for, it's the faith, the truth that he represents. And I know that I will be saved because it is the faith that I trust. I do not trust in liturgies to bring me into God's presence. I do not trust in feelings to assure me that I belong to him. I do not trust in the popularity of my beliefs. I do not trust in disciplines like fasting and indulgences. I trust in Jesus Christ. I seek to better understand his teaching, and I ask him to mold and shape me into the image of his Son, because I know all too well I'm not there yet. After all is said and done, it is not human promises and shows of faith that matter. It is not cheap grace and religious tricks. It is not how much you enjoy your faith. It is not calls for social justice that hide hatred behind a sheet of lies. It is not popularity or relevance that matters. In the words of Paul, all that matters is Christ crucified for you and for me. All that matters is Christ risen, the foundation of our hope. All that matters, says Paul, is the new creation that he has already begun in you and in me. The new life he has called and equipped us to live. Will I be among the faithful when Jesus comes? Yes, I will. And you will too. How do I know? Is it because our faith is strong enough? Mine isn't. Is it because we know all the answers? I don't. But we do know one answer, don't we? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to make the one God known to us. He was crucified to reconcile us to that one true God. He rose to give us life today and the promise of eternal fellowship with him and the Father. If this is your faith, you have nothing to fear. Instead of being afraid, instead of avoiding Jesus' hard words, we can boldly say with Paul, Maranatha, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, it is so easy to lay aside the pure faith or to mingle it with the teachings of this world. And yet your Son, Jesus, has given to us a treasure, the treasure of his teaching. Help us each day to grow in our knowledge, our understanding, and our living of that faith once for all delivered to the saints. And indeed may he come today. And when he comes today, and looks in our hearts, may he find the faith.